Well, Saints, we're going to now cover the next chapter in the economy of God. We're now into chapter 4.
Yeah.
This is Praise the Lord.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Why don't we read the title together? It's all passing around. Mm. But we can just read it twice in case you don't have it.
Yeah. The key to the indwelling spirit.
Again.
The key to the indwelling spirit.
These verses are really precious, and as you read, saints, pay attention to how many in yous there are.
In you.
In him. Indwells.
That's right.
Amen. Let's read Romans 8,
Amen.
10 to 11.
Romans 8.
Amen.
But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you,
Amen.
He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you.
Amen.
Amen. How many in yous?
Three.
Very good. The first one is Christ is in you, right?
Amen.
Amen. The next one is the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead.
In you.
Who's the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead?
The Holy Spirit.
The Father.
The Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead is the Father. So the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus is the Father is in you. And lastly, through his Spirit, who indwells you. Hallelujah. So two verses show us the triune God is in us.
Amen.
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 Yeah, he's the Holy Spirit. So, but, you know, we've been covering this matter of the Spirit. And in fact, this message is somewhat of a repetition, but it's good to repeat. So we can repeat it to others. So we need to pay attention to, there's a number of the word Spirit in here. And some people are confused in interpreting the Bible, whether the Spirit refers to a part of man, some even don't even know that it's a part of man,
right.
Or whether the Spirit refers to the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit.
Right.
So in the Word, we capitalize the word Spirit when it refers to God the Spirit, and we use the lowercase s when it's not God the Spirit, it's our Spirit.
Right. Right.
And it's clear here in this, which is which. So in the first phrase, the body is dead because of sin. The spirit is life. Clearly that spirit can't be compared, God the Spirit wouldn't be compared to our body. It must be another part of man. There's a body, and then we have a spirit. So that's our spirit. And then the last phrase, through his spirit who indwells you. Clearly that's his spirit. But I really enjoyed the phrase in the beginning, the Spirit is life.
Amen.
So that's not the Holy Spirit is life. We may understand that, but that's our Spirit is life.
Yes.
Because the Spirit is in our spirit.
Yes.
Saints, no, understanding this difference and that the fact that the Holy Spirit is in our spirit. This is the key.
Yes.
Our brotherly called it the mark of God's economy. And he even used this term, the key, in the illustration. It's the key to unlock all the mysteries and the experience of God's economy. Even later in his ministry, he says, the Spirit in our spirit is the key to unlock all the riches of God's organic salvation. So we need to pay attention to this mingled spirit and turn to this mingled spirit. Lord Jesus. So there were two illustrations we drew on the board the last couple weeks showing how man's spirit, or actually the three parts of man, are similar to where the children of Israel wandered. They were in Egypt, which is the world. Then they went out of Egypt into the wilderness. But there they wandered for 40 years. And the wilderness represents our mind. And saints, many Christians wander in their mind for many years because they don't know they have a spirit. We need to go on and press on from our mind into our spirit, the deepest part of man.
Amen.
And in the other example in the is the temple of God. Man, three parts of man are similar, are alike to the temple, which had three sections. The outer part, the outer court, is corresponds to the outer part of our body. Inside there's another layer. The holy place, which corresponds to our soul. It's hidden, it's inside, but most of mankind understands we have a soul. But hidden inside that soul is another place. And saints, that is the place where in the Old Testament the priests came to meet face to face with God.
Amen.
So today, we need to go into our spirit.
Yes.
God said, he who worships God must worship in spirit. So we need to press on and not be lost in the wandering of our mind. And finally, today I'm on point D. The Holy Spirit is the compound of all the divine realities. What does this really mean? That we need to realize that in our spirit, not only that we have a spirit, but in our spirit is the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit contains or is compounded with everything that God is.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
In him are all the things he's done. Creation, incarnation, human living, death, resurrection, and ascension. His enthronement. All this is in the spirit that's in our spirit. And everything that God is in our spirit. Life, light, power, strength, wisdom, knowledge, insight, love, glory. What do you need? It's in your spirit.
Amen.
Why are you wandering in your mind? Even that's Satan's strategy. You know, we're in Colossians in the life study, and this is kind of Paul's struggle, was to get the Colossians out of the wandering in the mind, and they were distracted with many things. We'll get to the distractions. But don't allow Satan's strategy to keep you wandering. Get into your spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So what are these distractions? Brother Lee in the second half of the chapter went through distractions from this key. And there he went through three distractions, and the first of which was good. And at first you say, what's wrong with good? But this is a natural human concept that God wants us to do good and to be good. But really, if you look in Genesis, where did good come? What is good from? Good comes from the same tree as evil. It's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You know, in Matthew 19, there was a rich man who thought he had, a rich young man who thought he had to do good. And he came to the Lord and said, Teacher, what do I have to do? To do, right? What do I have to do? To receive eternal life. He said, well, you should obey all the commandments. And he said, which ones? Well, do not kill, do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not lie. Do not steal. He didn't mention do not covet, but that's coming. And he said, oh, I've done all these. I've been good. What else should I do? I said, okay. You have to give away all your riches and follow me. And there, at that point, he said, oh, then his countenance fell because he realized he can't be that good. Saints, there will come a time, and there should come a time, where we realize, I can't be that good.
Yeah.
And I have to share you something from yesterday. God's I was in the children's work and parents' conference, and we were talking about how we shepherd the children to Christ. Mm-hmm. And first we start out with the law, and we teach them, you should be good, right? Obey, honor your parents. You shall not covet. And eventually they'll realize, I can't.
They try,
of course. Yeah, okay, I'll be good. But eventually they'll come to a point, maybe around 12 years old, where I can't. And when you say, I can't, that's when God's economy is activated. Those were precious words. I can't activates God's economy. When you stop trying to do good, then God can be everything to us. So that rich man, he turned and went away sorrowful. But we just need to stay where the Lord is. And where's the Lord? He's in our spirit.
Amen.
So that's being good can distract us. And this is just this is the pursuit of many Christians today. They have good works or ministries. I'm going to give to the poor. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It's good. Sure. But is that distracting you from Christ? Lord Jesus. Okay, the second point is doctrines. Oh, Lord Jesus. Now this, they seem good because we get doctrines from the Bible. Right? We study the Word. We understand the doctrines. But one can have the Scriptures without having Christ. In John 5:39, the Lord told the Pharisees, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you'll find eternal life. But, so they're in the Word. But you don't come to me. So saints, we need to be on the guard not to be distracted by doctrines, teachings. Being even correcting other people. I know the doctrine better than you do. Yeah. We need to ask ourselves, are we dispensing life? Or are we dispensing doctrine?
Amen.
Right. And saints, doctrines, studying doctrines, this distracts a lot of the smart ones. I'm going to study. Lord Jesus. Okay, maybe you say, I'm not smart. I'm not distracted by doctrines. But the other distraction is gifts. And these are spiritual gifts. Not, you know, I give you something, but spiritual gifts from the Lord, from the Spirit. These can distract many believers. But the function of spiritual gifts is to help Christ make his home in our hearts. Actually, he's in our spirit, and we're going to learn as we get into this book, he wants to spread out from our spirit. And so gifts should just lead us to Christ. If gifts are a distraction from Christ, we need to put those aside. So these gifts, what are these gifts? They're things like foretelling, healing, tongue speaking. These are kind of miraculous things that many Christians are distracted by. In fact, there's some Christian leaders whose ministry is healing, and they heal people. That's all they do is heal. And you have to ask yourself, okay, that's miraculous, it's attractive, but where is Christ? In 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul talked about gifts in chapter 12, but he concluded the gifts, discussion about gifts, with a charge to exercise our spirit to build up the church.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. And there's a good story about the proper function of gifts, and this is in Genesis 24, when Abraham sent out his servant Eliezer to go find a wife for his son. It seems kind of odd that the son wouldn't go find his own wife. He sat at home, and the servant went out without him to go find a wife. And he took with him many riches, many gifts to give Isaac's bride. And these gifts were to attract her that the man I represent is rich. And he has lots of things he could give you. Why don't you come with me? And in fact, when he met Rebecca, he gave her the silver and gold and gave his family jewels and gave his family camels and other cattle. Wow, you've got a rich uncle. You better go with him, they said. Go. She said, I will go. But then when she went and found Isaac, the Bible doesn't mention these gifts anymore.
That's right.
Yeah. The gifts were set aside, and she spent time with her husband.
Yeah.
So saints, when we find Christ, we really should drop gifts and just focus on him.
Amen.
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 Lord Jesus.
Amen.
In the life study of Colossians, the Paul was burdened that they would see all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in this Christ.
Amen.
Yet why do you pursue other things?
Amen.
Philosophies. All the best things of the world, but They're not Christ. Angels, why do you pursue them? You have Christ. You should set those aside and take Christ.
Amen.
And saints, where is Christ today? In our spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. You're in our spirit.
Amen.
May we focus on this.
Amen.
Exercise our spirit.
Amen.
Set aside everything else.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.